Let's begin with Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, which is 46. Dinei Shavua Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Pesokha. So let me know when you have it. Yeah? Page 46. Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha. And what does this mean? Ubar Yisrael De Islei Dina Bahadi Nochri Lishtemit mine deria mazle. So this is not an appropriate. This is not a good time for a judgment against the guy. And from the 9 days, try to be mishtamin. You know, try if you can to avoid being judged. And I assume he means even in a non-Jewish court with a non-Jew.
I lost the case term.
Oh, you lost one during these 9 days? Wow.
It was out of my control.
You couldn't change the date?
No. Small claims court.
It was only in small claims. So it wasn't a massive.
It wasn't. Okay. I claimed against my mortgage company.
Oh, I see. The Ramah is a comment in Mila Shehimi Rosh Chodesh Ad Tisha B'Av, which actually we have a case like that this Thursday. We have a bris. I don't know if you know John Bloomberg. His grandson, Amir Hashem, will enter into the bris this Thursday. Noagim sham moel ubal bris vavia ben lovshin bigdei Shabbos. So the three individuals, these are the three main persona, the three main stars on stage, and they're allowed to wear bigdei Shabbos, and they are the moel, and then the bal bris, meaning the father, the son. No, I'm sorry. But who is the Baal Bris? He has Aviyah Ben as a third category. So the Baal Bris is, I guess, the Sadik. Let's see if I'm right. Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah says, Baal Bris hainu oso shetofes hatinok al birkov bishas mila. I don't know why he doesn't call him the Sadik by name. Maybe in those days they didn't use the term Sadik. I don't know. But he calls him the Osa Tofis Atinok Al Birka Bishas Amila. And then he gets to the Kvater. Oh, here he uses the word Kvater. Hamachnes Vamotzi Atinok Eino Bechlal. So we come from Aisha Hamachneses Atinok. Right, she brings the child in and gives the child over to the Kvater. Is no Heges Lubosh Bigdei Shabbos Shezeh Iker Mitzvaso. Via Ben. And Aviyah Ben here refers also the imo, to the mother of the child. I guess the rest of the people who are there at the bris, they're not allowed to wear bigdei Shabbos, which I guess means freshly laundered clothes. Let's see if we're going to talk about shaving. Let's see. He says, Afilu b'Shabbos shel chazon, ein machlifin lilbosh bigdei Shabbos. Now, within the 9 days, we have Shabbos. And we're saying that during the 9 days, we don't wear Big Day Shabbos. But what about on Shabbos itself? So he says that even on Shabbos itself, we shouldn't wear Big Day Shabbos. And I don't believe that's our minog, but that's what it says here in the Ramah. Ki im haktones levad. Okay, they wear the outer beged. I guess that's the ketores. Aval parshim paroches shel Shabbos. The regular paroches is there up until Tisha B'Av. In lo she'erei Tisha B'Av v'Shabbos v'nidches as ein parshim paroches shel Shabbos. Wow. So this is the Rav Mola Shitaso that Tisha B'Av remains Tisha B'Av even if it's on Shabbos. Again, we can't fast, but it's still Tisha B'Av. And there are many nafkaminas. Like, for example, Dvarim Shevitzino, we'll talk about Amir Tzashem, and then we can talk about the Paroches. Umishi Yeshla Nesu in the Shabbos Nachamu. So now we have the offer of Shabbos is Chazon. Is Mutar Lilbosh Bigdei Shabbos B'Shabbos Shel Chazon. Wow. You know, he's really looking high and low to find a heter, a special license to wear Bigdei Shabbos on Shabbos Chazon. This becomes such a big deal for him. Now let's see what the ketores is all about. We have here a Mishnah Berurah, and he says the following. Oh, wait a second. Which talis should be wearing according to the Ramah on Shabbos Chazon? Should you wear your Shabbos talis? He says, "Afil b'Shabbos Chazon ein machlifin lilbosh b'gdei Shabbos." Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Afilu hatalis." He shouldn't even change his talis. So that talis which he wears during the week, he should wear on Shabbos Chazon. Ulinin giluach imutul baal bris v'chihai gavna ayin b'sharei tshuva. So if you take a look in the Sharat Tzion first, before we look in the Shari Tshuva, number Dalit, which is the top line of page 47, he quotes the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuvas, who's matir lebal bris l'saper. It's really interesting, because the Chasam Sofer was an older contemporary of the Chofetz Chaim.
So not just to shave one's hair?
Yes, yeah, shaving and hair cutting are one package deal.
Oh, okay. I thought
one package deal. In other words, if you're allowed to shave, you're allowed to cut your hair. If you're not allowed to shave, you're not allowed to cut your hair, vice versa. Avaloli ovel mamish b'mila b'toch shloshim. Wow. He's saying the following, that the status of the 9 days, as far as Avelis, is inferior. It's a low level Avelis to Avelis of Shloshim. We normally assume that the Avelis of the 9 days is equivalent and corresponds to that of Shloshim, but he's saying it's even lower on the totem pole than Shloshim. So whereas on Shloshim, we're not going to allow the Bali Abris to Tok Shloshim to cut their hair and shave their beards, but during the 9 days, which is an Avelis similar to Shloshim, but in this sense it's a nuance lower than, we're going to allow the Bali Bris, according to the Chasam Sofer, to take a shave and cut their hair. So let's just see where the Shari Tshuva is. There's so much here in the Shari Tshuva. Let's see if we can find it.
But
there it is.
Even in the case for this year, where it's
that's an interesting point. Could be that even those who might disagree with the Chasam Sofer agree in this particular year. Which is exactly what I told John today, actually, now that I remember. Let's just see in the Shari Tshuva if he brings down Machmirim on this. So we're back now on page 46.
The question also is in Machlokes Shiluv B'Chavon.
Right, does that apply this year? Yeah. Right. Right, that's very relevant to the Sfaradim especially. So he says the following. Ubalabris. He says, Ayin, I'm not sure who this is he's referring to. It doesn't look like the Prima Gautam. Anyway, Shehisig Alaber Hetev. The Kosav She'ein L'dayek Midalo Kosav Hetel L'galeach. Ah. So if you take a look in the Ber Hetev, yeah, we did already that. But where's here it is. Midalo Kosav. So this is the Ber Hetev number Gimel, smack in the middle, and he says, Midalo Kosav Nami Shemutom Galeh Mashma de Osir Vikosav Arzarua Shahorolos Keno Di Ovel Toshloshim Lo Yesakin Siparnov. Yesh Moel Acher. In other words, if it's necessary for the sake of Mila to be Masakin Siparnov, you have to know a little bit more about Mila for that, then of course we're going to allow it. But assuming there's another Moel, so we don't have to use this Moel who needs to cut his nails, V'chein lo yigaleh toshloshim b'mila. So it could be that even in Avelus of Shloshim, it could be we might be matir for the Bali Abris to cut their hair. But in any event, he starts with this diuk that why didn't the Machaber mention Actually, it's not the Mechaber, it's the Ramah. Why didn't the Ramah mention that Mutul Galeach? You know, the only head to the Ramah formulates here is in terms of wearing Begodim of Shabbos. So the implication is that's also that you're not allowed to be Megaleach, even if you're one of the Bali Abris. But he leaves a Pitzarch Iyun, he's not sure about it. So the getting back to the Shari Tshuva, he says, Ein ledayik mitalokos of het legaleach, v'dok le'idoch gisa delokos av isur. Which means big day Shabbos is who had legaleach. Kevon shenogim legaleach lefi sheyontiv shalohu. So it goes without saying that he's allowed to cut his hair because that's what he does on yontif, and this day is his yontif. Now he quotes a tshuva, the Zera Emes. Daito lesar til spores ulevishas levana b'shavua shechal tishuva b'socha. So in other words, here we're going to make a kind of a compromise. If it's Rosh Chodesh Av and there's a bris mila, we'll allow tispores, we'll allow the balia bris to take a haircut. But if it's shavua shechalbo, then we're more strict about the avelus, that we're not going to allow tisporis and giluach even for the sake of the mitzvah bris milah, the balia bris. Now he's differentiating between big day Shabbos and levonim. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Anyway, now he brings other poskim, Bnei Yehuda. Bnei Yehuda, I think, was the what was his name? Ayash, Rabbi Yehuda Ayash. Lesser tisporos lahati bilavonim. Right, so maybe as far as Levisha is concerned, we're more makil, but as far as tisporos, we won't go that far. Oh, now we get to our case. Tisha b'av b'yom aleph, v'amila b'yom he, shalafana. I think that would be our case, although I'm not 100% sure, because he says that Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday. Anyway, Lamaisa, you have this Sharet Siyun who adds the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. I just find this interesting that the Mishnah Berurah himself is quoting the Chasam Sofer. They were really contemporaries. Let's just think. The Chasam Sofer probably died in about, just guessing, around 1870. Maybe 1880. I have to look that up. The Mishnah Berurah died in 1930, I think, something like that. So let's see, the Mishnah Berurah died at the age of 95, something like that. So he was in 1880. The Mishnah Berurah was already a mature fellow. He was already in his 40s, maybe about 45. I don't know exactly when the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer was published, but it was published early enough that when the Mishnah Berurah was in his older years and he was writing the Mishnah Berurah, he already was aware of the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. It seems like he considers the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer to be like the final authority in this whole machlokas that went on for I don't know how many centuries, as codified here in the Shari Tshuva. Anyway, but if you ask me, I would say Yesh al mi lismoch. And not only that, how much more so this year when I'm not even sure if it's Shavuot Shechalva. It could be that, I don't know, in our day, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to say something very tenuous. If a fellow has a beard because of the 3 weeks, I don't know if that's going to shter the simcha so much. It's, why is it that the Bali Bris should be shaving and taking a haircut? They shouldn't look disheveled. I think that's in order to enhance the simcha. You know, Mila is a great mitzvah. It's Yud Gimel Brisos. It's a very unique opportunity. The Rashba is in favor of making Shechiyonu on Mila. That's the minute here in Eretz Yisrael.
So it's not just the Av, it's the Mon, it's the Sandik, right?
Mon, the Sandik, and the Aviyah Ben, those three. And then he throws in the mother of the child as well, as far as Levisha is concerned. So I'm just wondering, you know, would it stare the simcha if the Bali Abris did not shave or did not take a haircut? Well, maybe on the other hand, you know, it's not a question of would it stare the simcha, would it enhance the simcha if they took a shave? Maybe that's the way we should look at it. And you know, if these major players in the Bris, you know, show up and they look really beautiful, that's going to enhance the simcha.
I think another component is that for others to see that these that they shave and they dress, it shows the chashir.
Right, it's machshiv. It gives the whole mod, you know, a different
where it stands out,
and Dafka stands out because it's in a sense the 9 days that. You know, it's obviously that they took the time to take a shave and to look so presentable.
I think that's an aspect of this.
Now we mentioned something here about the ketones. Let's go back to that again. The Ramah here on the top of page 47. Says that Ein Machlif in Lulbosh Bigdei Shabbos Ki Ima Ketones Levad. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says She'eino Lovesh Ela Mipnei Hazeah. I see. He's talking about the inner garments that come in contact with the body, and these garments are meant to protect him from Zeah, from sweat. And those garments are not garments that are worn for the sake of simcha and beauty, and therefore we can allow that during the 9 days. So let's say, for example, you don't want to put on a clean, laundered shirt, a newly, freshly laundered shirt during the 9 days. But you don't have to change your underwear because that has a din of big day zeh. Umitam zebutul achlegam hapuz mekaos. I was hoping somebody would tell me what puz mekaos are. And again, whatever it is, it's something that's together big day zeo, or it's at least not, you know, it's not something that people notice. So we're going to be more machmir when Tishvav coincides with Shabbos. But we're not going to be machmir with the big day zeil or these private begotten that are not exposed. Ubekilas kodesh vilna no gimal pia gra lilbosh big day shabbos. Okay, now I think, don't quote me on this, that our minhag reflects the vilna minhag. And my father came for a shtetl, right? And I outside the building. And they would be b'Shabbos al pi agra on Shabbos Chalbo Tishvav. Yesh b'shanei begedech, and maybe you want to change one of your begotten. Chen kosov Rabbi Yaakov Emdi b'shem Ova Goan. Right, that's the Chacham Tzvi. Shetzorach lulbos b'gdei Shabbos al filu b'Shabbos Chalbo Tishvav. So we have two traditions here, both coming to the same conclusion, the tradition of the Gra, the tradition of the Chacham Tzvi, that we should be wearing Big Day Shabbos, even if Shabbos is on Tisha B'Av. And I think that's what the minhag is, if I'm not mistaken. And as far as the Parochas is concerned, he says in Mishnah Berurah that we're not just discussing the Parochas, but we're discussing all those coverings over the table, you know, the table that we read the Sefer Torah, and other such coverings that we have in the Beis HaKnesses. Those Shabbos coverings should not be used during the 9 days. Once again, I don't think that's our minhag.
I never seen that.
Yeah, on Leil Tisha B'Av they take away the parochas. That's based on a pasuk in Eicha. But I never saw it on, certainly not on Shabbos. What else do we have here? Oh, so we spoke about an ofruf. So the chasson for his ofruf, we're going to allow him to wear Big Day Shabbos. What about the parents of the chasson? What about the parents of the kal? What about the kal? He says, V'acha via chasson v'kal lobshim beged elyon shel Shabbos l'chvod chasson v'kal. I'm just wondering how far we would go here in terms of the Bali Abris, in the case of a bris, and the chasson, etc., in the case of a wedding, of a Shabbos offer, are we willing to allow them to buy new clothes, like a new suit? Or are we just saying that the Big Day Shabbos that you wear every Shabbos, you wear on this occasion? But to buy a new suit, that's already an issue of Shachiyanu. And maybe that should be avoided. We avoid that during the entire 3 weeks, not just even the 9 days. So I'm not sure how far we're going to go with this heter. I'm sure the chassan at his own offer would really like to wear his new suit. So if you take a look here at Mishnah Berurah, I didn't cheat. I just saw it right this second. Number test, it says, B'nei Shabbos, v'komokom b'godim chadoshim osu. The chassan is going to be disappointed when he hears this. And there are tons of chassanim here, right? So just figure this out. When is the chassan going to take place? It's going to be taking place before Shabbos Nacham. That's pretty common, is it not? In other words, let's say Tisha B'Av ends on, well, this year it's on a Sunday, right? So it could be the wedding will be immediately after Tisha B'Av. Why not? It's not going to wait till Shabbos now. So the offeruf is on Tisha B'Av. And he really wants to wear a new suit for his offeruf. I don't know. What about throwing candies and all that? I mean, we go through the regular kind of an offeruf. And this is so common. Now he's up to Shabbos Shel Chazon. Afilu Chal Tisha B'Av Shabbos, even like this year.
I'm wondering shopping for a new garment, where you're not going to actually make the purchase, but trying on.
In general, you're talking about the 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If you don't actually put it on,
so no. Well, maybe you need to put it on. You know,
no, I'm saying you don't wear it.
But you have to never wear it.
No. You might try it on, but you're not wearing it. So that's the issue, whether Shachiyon depends upon the moment of Kniya, the buying, the ownership, or it depends upon the moment of Levisha. I think our minig is that Levisha, but still, I think we're machmir not to buy new clothes which would require Shachiyon when you wear them during the 3 weeks. Now, if there are overriding pressing reasons for buying new clothes, could be you could find a heter. But the general minig is to try. Again, I'm not talking about buying socks and underwear and towels and things like that, or even sheets. I'm talking about wearing, you know, buying a new suit that we avoid for the 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, that's
even specific, if we don't wear it.
You're right, but that's the specific case of the chassan shopping for a suit, but he's going to shop, but not the...
Right, that might be a pressing reason. Again, he says, B'godim chadoshim osu. And he quotes the Magen Avraham. I don't know if everybody, you know, agrees with the Magen Avraham. Right now, you get the impression everybody agrees with the Magen Avraham. I wonder, like, for example, Hasidim, if I'm not mistaken, they have certain special begodim that, you know, they wear for an offer. You know, the Chassid never wore as a single guy, you know. Are we going to tell them not to wear those? Well, for example, a hat, right? There's some... for some single fellows, the first time they'll wear a hat in shul is for their own offer. And it's certainly a new talis. You know, the shver bought you a new talis for your wedding. You want to wear it on at the offer, and you've never worn it before. You just got this new talis. Is the Magen Avraham going to tell you you're not allowed to wear it at your own offer? That's going a little bit far. So I'm just saying, the Magen Avraham is here. I'm just wondering if there's not, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot more here in the halachic literature than what we're seeing here. Now, what else? Yeah. Let's see what he says about the Aviyah Chasson. You see this on the second one line? Leviyah Chasson in Lahati be often said, Lubo Shum Beged Shel Shabbos. Wow. It sounds like he's saying that in our case, where Tisha B'Av overlaps with Shabbos, we should not, you know, it's really a very limited kind of heter for the only for the absolute necessity of the chassan himself to wear big day Shabbos, but we're not going to allow the Aviyah Chasson to wear big day Shabbos. So one second, and before he quoted the minhag of Kihila Kedosha of Vilna, Lilbosh big day Shabbos. One second, Vav. What's he adding over here? Ein Lahatir. I think it's only in the case of Tisha B'Av on. So let's see. So he's talking about Rav Yaakov Emdin. So one second. According to Rav Yaakov Emdin, it's even in this case where Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. So what's he saying here when he says, "I will Aviyah Chasson in Lahatir"? What do you mean, Ein Lahat? We just said that anyone will wear Big Day Shabbos. Forget about the Aviyah Chasson. Did you follow my steer? Is there a steer here?
My question is, in the Shabbos? We don't seem to pass it this way, that everybody wears Big Day Shabbos.
Right, so.
But where would the source be for that?
So that's what he quotes here in the name of the Gra and the Rav Yaakov Emden at the end of Vav. That we wear Big Day Shabbos even on Shabbos Chazon, and not only that, moreover, even on a Shabbos which is Tisha B'Av, we're going to wear Big Day Shabbos. So what does he mean here on the second of the wide lines? He says, "Aval Yaviyah Chasson Ein Lahatir Be Ofen Ze Lilbosh Shum Beged Shel Shabbos." Where we just finished saying that we're all going to be knowing to wear Beged Shel Shabbos. That I don't understand. Almost like a steer from one line of the machine to the other. I can't figure that one out. Okay. Now let's go back to the Mechabit. The Mechabit says, Mirosh Chodesh Ad Hatainis Mematim Bemasa Ubematon Ubebinyan Shal Simcha. Kegon base chasnus libno obinion shall tsir v'kiur, and then he goes on to netia shall simcha. Okay, so let's first start with the Bir Aloch, because he points out that this is the machaber for the Sfaradim. The Ashkenazim, he says, yesh la'achmir biyud zayin b'tamus. We start from the beginning of the 3 weeks. Yeah, but now he adds something else. He says, Vasar b'teves Yerosh Chodesh ad hatayimus. Okay, so now he has another day of Avelus. And that is Asar b'teves Kimo Yerosh Chodesh ad hatayimus. All right. So I'm not sure about this Asar B'Teves. Are you familiar with the minhag of Avelus or Asar B'Teves? That we shouldn't, there's no Masa Matan, you should go to work on Asar B'Teves. This is a bit of a chiddush to me. I shouldn't say you shouldn't go to work. I mean, that's not a good phrase. I should be more careful. It means I should invest in a major business enterprise. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Yud Aleph. This is the third of the wide lines. He says, "Mamati b'masu man yesh min aposkim disvir lehu da'ayim shlo yisa b'masu man shel simcha." In other words, even if he's involved in purchasing and selling something for simcha, one second, what is he adding over here? Mamati b'simcha, yesh min aposkim disvir lehu da'ayim shlo yisa b'masu matan shel simcha kigon liknos klei kesef otzorche chupa v'chadome al stam asuman in sorach lemay klal. So it means that the masumatan here is related to the next phrase in the machaber of binyan shel simcha. So we're talking about masumatan of simcha. And what would be masumat of simcha? It's to buy something for marriage, for the chuppah. But that doesn't mean that you have to be my masumat. Yesh really the chol masumat on tzarech l'may pesach zos v'lo yasok elik today parasosum hemashmum simon tzarech l'may pechol masumat. This touches on your question from before. Would I be allowed during the 3 weeks to purchase a new suit because of some extenuating circumstances? Like, for example, a chasson, he needs it Friday after Tishba for his wedding, or something of that sort. Or, for example, I got it on sale. You know, there's a really slash price here on the suit. And if I don't buy it during the 3 weeks, I won't have the opportunity to buy it. So it sounds like that's what he's referring to here at the end of Sifkat Yud Aleph, when he says, Ak im hu yirid, yesh lo medavi dovrov v'shart. He's being matir masu maton in a case of a dover of. So in punkt, you know, let's say you're in the drape business, you know, so they have these what do they call them, market days, I don't know, there's a better word for it, in which all the people who are selling drapes, you know, they set up their stands and people got, you know, that's how you learn about other companies and so forth, but you have to show up there if you want your business to be lucrative. You have to be, you know, you have to get your duchan, you know, your table, and present your own drapes. That's a real dover avod, something that we would permit on Chol HaMoed, even though we don't want you to go to work on Chol HaMoed. And he says that kind of masu matan, which is going to be a dover avod if you don't get involved in it, that we're going to allow on during the 3 weeks, even if you hold that masu matan in general is also during the 3 weeks. I mean, there's one man who says that masu matan only for dvar simcha is prohibited. But now we're saying no, that all masu matan is, we have to be mamayit for masu matan, even if it's not shel simcha. But in the case of a dovra avud, dovra avud, we're going to allow it. B'zmanenu nogu l'hokah b'chol zeh, mishum da'kol nechshav ka'es, k'dei parnasosim. What do we have over here? How big is to be mekil? I guess he's saying everything is a dovra avud. Just like we said, that in a dover over like Yerid, it's mutter to be dedicated to Masumata, and our situation is such that every day is Yerid for us. Every time, every involvement in Parnasa is considered Kidei Parnasasa. Now, I'm not sure if this would impact on fixing houses or painting houses. Is that going to come around the bend here? Okay, we'll have to wait. He says, Binyan shel simcha, kigon avranti shel malachim, shenotim letzel estofef betzilo, mini adas umine aholim. What's going on here? Binyan shel simcha. He says, "V'hu adin kol binyan she'eino tzarch lo l'diroso tak osa kein larvocha bi'alma osu." So again, I would think that if, let's say, you have cracks in your ceiling and you want to cement them and paint them, I think that should be mutter. That's not a simcha shel, that's not a binyan shel simcha. He says, "V'im sochar." Zigak sha'osuke larvocha bi'alma.
Yeah. The last line in the Shara Tzion seems like you can. This is the economics. Everything you can do with these things, except that if you're preparing for something afterwards, you should be strict not to.
The Shara Tzion, you're talking at the end of your Gimel? The bottom line on the page?
On the bottom of the page, you're
good. So wait, so I didn't get up to this yet. Let me take a look at the Shara Tzion Yud Gimel. Just give me a minute to catch up. It says, so Hine, mi divi amogin avro, mashma di af al pichem, b'masu man shal simcha yesh le noa. Chein hetik, achai odon al mi divi, hataz al yol rav, mashma di af pazeh, Not sure exactly why the Taz and the Elio Rabba are Mekilim here. What exactly is the scenario? That's I'm not clear. We're talking about what, finding something less expensive. Diri Taz Elio Rabba Mashma Di Ein Bazeh Amidu Diapazeh Min Lohakas. I knew what he meant by Shemel or Yuchal Lachochim Acharkach. Some sort of a time, there's some sort of time urgency factor, which I'm not clear exactly what is going on with him. Again, before we were saying that he needs it for business, or perhaps he has a deal, there's a special slash price sale. But Stam Asim Matan is according to the Eish Sviu is also, right? Lo Yasa, but today part of Sosa, but not for luxury items. What is the is a Shad Sion adding over here? Just for the same. That you need today from Sosa, then he's talking about opinion shall soon fall. What is the clue of the meaning? Sure, honestly, it's not 100% clear to me. I think he's quoting these poskim that any involvement in Masu Matan is somehow time urgent. We don't have to look at the case of the Yerid or the case of. Some sort of special price that's being offered, but whatever he needs to buy and sell, it's time urgent. Maybe he means that if he doesn't buy and sell, then he's wasting precious time, and he needs that time in order to be mefarnes his family. That's just, I'm taking a stab at it. Okay, fine. So let's go on to Binyan Shel Simcha. So what is Binyan Shel Simcha? We have this case of Avarniki Shel Malachim. These are the plush, you know, pieces of furniture in the palace of the king. Shenotim Letzel Estofef Bitzilo. Says the Mishnah Brura. Bibinyan Shel Simcha Adin Kol Binyan Shein Tzarcha L'Dirasa V'Rak She'Osu Kein La'Rvacha B'Alma Osu. This I don't understand. What do you mean She'Ein Tzarcha L'Dirasa but La'Rvacha B'Alma? We just finished saying that Masu Matan is Nagu L'Hakel a cold mechshav kidei parnasasa. So if he has to spiffy up an apartment in order to sell it on the market or maybe to rent it, then if he doesn't do so, he's going to suffer a loss. So why are you telling me for hu adin kol binyan she'ein lo she'ein tzarch lo lidiraso? I think though that is the minhag, if I'm not mistaken, to be machmir and not to get involved in building, construction, or shiputzim, you know, to fix up an apartment if it's not going to be used for living purposes. But I don't understand how to square that with what we said before, that today any masu matan. Oh, I see. Oh, now I get it. There are two levels here, and they shouldn't be confused. I was identifying them. There's something called Masu Matan, and then there's something called Binyan. So there's a special category called construction, which is very chamur. You know, we don't want to get involved in construction during the 9 days. So before we were discussing Masu Matan, that's actually buying and selling. And here we may be more machmir because that's his parnasa. But if you're talking about a binyan, which means to really not just to be in the marketplace and offer a price and then the counter price and all that bargaining, but now we're talking about the physical building of a building. And here we're going to say that we don't construct during the 9 days. Simcha koi gam amasa umaton kigon tsorche chupo al shar masa umaton shuri kidarko. Yeah, it's interesting. He expands the concept of binyan shel simcha, if I'm not mistaken, to masa umaton shel simcha. And there's this binyan shel simcha, and then there's masa umaton shel simcha.
What does he mean kedarko?
He says if you have a business, right? So you buy and sell, you know, they order X number of drapes and you deliver them. That's mutter. But if you're going out to buy tzarkei chupa, that shouldn't be done in this period of time. Again, I don't know, it might be a pressing need, you know, then you have to ask a posek and a rav and get your answer. But assuming you can organize it in a different way, then this is not the appropriate time to purchase for a simcha. So let's say, for example, you know, very often the parents or the couple themselves, even before they're married, will buy new silverware, right? They need knives and forks and so forth, whatever they need, even new furniture. All this is called binyan shel simcha. And it should be avoided during the 9 days. Even though, again, nobody's building anything here. You know, you're just going to the store to buy tzarchei chupa. But that already makes it upgraded to the status of a binyan shel simcha. Where did we see this again? In the Be'er Heitev, right? The Be'er Heitev was saying, Koi gam al maso umatin kigon sorche chupal, shar maso umatin shori kidarko.
Oh, we didn't look at the
Mechaber. Right, the Mechaber says, we go base chasnus libno, o binyan shel tzir v'kiur. Wow, he has in the Be'er Heitev the following discussion. What about a professional musician whose salary depends upon whether he's going to play or not? Now, normally we're not going to allow music, live music, during the 3 weeks, and certainly not during the 9 days. But somebody who has a parnasa from music, let's say he goes to the Goyim, because the Jews are not having any based on Mishnah, hopefully, during the 9 days, but he has a job to play music in a non-Jewish concert. Yerod k'dei parnasos ha'shar, if he needs it for his parnasa, it's mutter. There's going to be an issue. This is the Prima Godim, where the Prima Godim is allowing these clay zemer because it's Flashem Parnosa even during the 9 days, or he's only allowing it during the 3 weeks. That's going to be an issue. We don't know how to interpret the Prima Godim.
So these people are sent to the town that play during this time with their guitar cases open.
That's interesting, right? We can allow that because that's l'shem parnasa. And then the question is whether you can allow that even during the 9 days. Now the Mishnah Berurah, 2 lines up before the end, he says, "V'im sochar l'nachri kodem rosh chodesh bekabladnut mutar bakol." So the guy is paid not per day, right? He's not a skir yom, but rather he's a kablan, so he's paid for the job. And the guy, could decide when to do the job. So he could have finished the job before the 9 days, but he slept along. So now he's doing the job and building this binyan shel simcha during the 9 days for the sake of a Jew. But that's okay. Vafil b'tishah b'av atzmo, and even on Tisha B'av itself, the guy could continue working and building a binyan shel simcha. Binyan shel simcha seems to be quite rare. I don't know. Binyan shel simcha. Oh, now what about painting? So he says painting has the same status as building. Who had dinim kotatz im anochi bekablanut litzayer beso mutu litzayer mitam zeh. When we call him Yochel Lefaiso B'Dover Mutar Sheyamtim Ad Li'Achar Tisha B'Av Tovo Olav Brocha Beis HaKnesses Mutar Davi Mitzvah D'Rabin. So there are a number of factors here that play in here. First of all, who's doing the work? When did you hire the guy? Are you paying him per day? Are you paying him for the job? If all things are equal, what should you do? What's ideal? Tell him to do this work after Tisha B'Av. And if it's a case of Beis HaKnesses with Tzotzar HaRabim, there will be much more lenient. A lot of different factors come to the fore. Now what I don't understand is Omine Hadas Umine Oholim. Hadas is not something that you build. So what does he mean by mine adas? Do they have an English Mishnah Berurah here? I think there is a translation. I don't know if we have it here.
So what word?
Mine adas. No. Oh, maybe look it up. Yeah, that could be.
I looked up the word before. And I didn't know what they mean. We messed up on the word. It didn't make sense to me. What word does it mean?
Hadas, on the top page 48.
I'm sorry, what word is it?
Hadas.
Oh, Hadas. That's not like Hadas.
Yeah, so what has that fit into this context of Simcha? What is he's planting Hadasu? Okay. It's a little bit odd here that he's, you know, in the middle of all this discussion, he's planting Hadasu.
That's right here, myrtle.
Right. I know what a Hadas is, but I'm just wondering with this context exactly. He's talking about Netiyah Shel Simcha. I don't know why. I guess Netiyah Hadas, maybe because Hadas is only for fragrance? So that makes it Simcha Dik. Now, what's Mine a Holim? These are tents. The tents is also maybe because he's camping out. Is that it? I doubt if that's what the Mechaber has in mind, but it's an interesting idea. Let's say he's putting up a tent in order to camp out. Okay. Let's go on. V'im hoya koslo nota lipol afal pishu shel simcha muta livnos. What does he mean, afal pishu hu shel simcha? It's some sort of extra structure, you know. It's like an annex to his house. So in the case of the kings, they had something called an avarniki.
I want to look up
that you can look up avarniki shel malach, but it's some sort of a. Oh, I think it's called in English a gazebo. Have you ever heard that word?
Yeah, that's around.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. And maybe he's planting these hadasim also to beautify this gazebo, but it's not the place that he lives. You know, we're not talking about his base dira. Umini aholim, right? The other types of gazebos, I guess. But if on the other end there's something structural in his own house where he lives, then it's mutter. Ah, even if it's a even Alpishu Shel Simcha. So this, I think, is like a gazebo, but it's about to fall. It's about to collapse. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Alpishu Binyan Shel Simcha. You see that the fourth line, Harei Sheino Osa Bishvila Simcha Ki Bishvila Hefse. So he has this structure, which is a luxury structure, which he doesn't need as a base dira, so certainly would come under Binyan Shel Simcha, but he's fixing it only because he'll suffer a loss if he doesn't take care of it now. The whole thing will collapse on him. That's called Nota Lipol. It's about to collapse. So you can do whatever work is necessary in order to prevent the wall from collapsing, because otherwise he's going to suffer a tremendous financial loss. Then the Mechaber says, then the Ramah says, Ulitzorech mitzvah kol shari. Everything is mutter for the purpose of a mitzvah. And what comes under that? Kigon says the Mishnah Berurah number Yudalit, She'en lo isho banim ve'en lo beis chasnus, mutter livnos beis chasnus. So anything that's necessary to set up the wedding, and it's a case of Ein lo isha ubanim, so we're dealing with a mitzvah of Piri Verivya, is any building for the sake of Piri Verivya is mutter. Although I'm not sure exactly when he's going to get married, but I guess he wants to get married immediately after Tisha B'Av, so during this time of the 9 days he's got to prepare the Beis Chasnus, otherwise he'll postpone the wedding.
Right, so it's a chatan kala. They fix up their apartment.
Excellent! They want to fix up their apartment, so that they can move into the apartment immediately after Tisha B'Av, or whenever they get married, but shortly after Tisha B'Av. But all this is for someone who's never been married before. So the pressing need here is period of Rivia, and that's a mitzvah. I mean, there are other mitzvahs to get married beyond period of Rivia, even if somebody has children, but that's not enough, apparently, to override the laws of the 9 days. So the laws of the 9 days, anything that's necessary for a marriage that's a first marriage, a period of Rivia, that's okay. Again, you can talk about if she... He's already been married, he has children, but she hasn't been married and she doesn't have children. Again, a woman is not obligated period of Rivia, but she does have other mitzvahs that she fulfills. So it could be that if for her it's the first time she's getting the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah, could be that for that purpose alone we would be matir the 9 days, as far as Binyan Shel Simcha is concerned. What I don't understand is, why does he speak about Binyan Shel Simcha here, if that's going to be the base dira where they're going to live? So first he speaks about base chasmus, which sounds like they're structuring the OL for the purpose of the chuppah. But then he goes ahead and he seems to go way beyond that. And he says, Lasos Pagodim Chadoshim Litzot Nesuri. I mean, it sounds like he's going to be matir anything that's Litzarach Nesu'in under this halacha called Litzarach Mitzvah. But the only thing is, he qualifies it that Litzarach Nesu'in becomes Litzarach Mitzvah only if he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah period of a review. And what about marriage itself? You know, we're allowing Binyan Shel Simcha for the sake of marriage. What about marriage itself? So that's where the Mechaber writes, Ein Nosim Noshim. Which again means from Rosh Chodesh Av, we don't get married. According to our Minig Ashkenazim, we're going to start that from Shivasa Vatavis for the entire balance of the 3 weeks. V'ein Osim Seudas Erusin Avala Aris Flosuda Mutter. So Nesuin is always awesome. Erusin would be Mutter as long as there's no Suda. But I feel the tishma of the atzma mutuli aris shelo yikad menu ach. Of course, the Rambam is going to add the noagim our minhag of Ashkenaz is lahachmir sheinotzim yitzayin tamuz bielif ad achar tishuv. Let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah Yitzayin and then we'll finish it up. He says, "I will test Zayin first. I will aris." He says, Erisim below Sudaleka Simcha Klal. So the Nesu'in is considered Simcha. We need a Matir, a period of Arivia. Maybe Machsa Gushasa is also a special mitzvah, a special Matir. But that Matir doesn't apply to Erisim. But the only thing is, Erisim is not considered a Maisa Simcha. So Erisim per se would be Mutter. The problem is, he makes a Sudas Erisim, and that's already also. Says the kolshke the mutul is kashiv eksivas tnoim. So you're allowed to sign tnoim during the 9 days. We come kom suda awesome, but to make a whole hoopla out of it, a banquet, that's awesome. Afbi ofen ze, afil below rikudim umcholos, afil the shabbos also lasso suuda bishvil ze. That's a pella to me because he's making a suit anyway because it's Shabbos. So what, he's just embellishing the suda because it's a suda's erusin? He's saying something unbelievable, that as long as the suda Shabbos is begetter oneg Shabbos, that's not a violation of simcha. But if you upgrade or transform that suda into a suda simcha, then it's going to be also even on Shabbos. And what makes it not just a suda's oneg, but a suda's simcha, that's the fact that you're celebrating the erusin of this young couple.
My question, plus mine, is, I think, isn't it the case that Mishnah Berurah, it's not applying to the erusin that we view as erusin today.
Right.
So,
right, we're talking about
what does that mean? Are we... more, we should be more machmir than not to have, or more mekel.
Well, again, I don't know what you're going to have. As long as there's no suna, it's okay. Yeah, you know, the suna is also without a suna, but erusin is mutter without a suda. Now, if you can add a suda, so kol shekein in our time, if you would have an engagement party, would certainly be prohibited.
It's not really erusin, but it's a party.
Party is out.
But that's what it
no
is.
No bodies.
But that's, so what, it's a party, what, without dancing? What party?
Oh, what makes it into a party? Is yes. What do you need?
Yeah, but they do.
I think as long as they're setting up a suda for, you know, a special meal, that, now you're asking what would be if they only order cake and
nowadays,
you know, and olives and cheese or something, you know, would that make it into a suda? That we have to study. That's going to come later on. But he's talking right now about a full-fledged banquet, you know, with invitations.
It's
only by invitation, only, you know.
During 3 weeks, it's permissible to get, well, that we call pork or engaged.
Right, and even Erison is permissible, and even on Tisha B'Av itself, Erison is permissible, as long as there's no Suda. Once you get into a Suda, even Erison becomes also, because the Suda makes it into Simcha. But for our engagement, you know, to make a party, absolutely prohibited. You know, no engagement parties, not even 3 weeks. Again, you know, you have something called the L'chaim. You're familiar with that, where the parents get together and a couple of members of the family. It's a very small kind of thing. That, I think, you know, you can maybe get away with. But as soon as you talk about inviting people and there's going to be a splash, and, you know, today what they do is they have these special chocolate makers, you know, women who are expert at making chocolates. Each piece of chocolate costs you about 10 shekel. You know, all that has to be prohibited during the 3 weeks. Again, if you're a Sfaradi, we'll let you during the 3 weeks, but not during, probably not during the 9 days, and certainly not during Shavuot Shechal.
That's since these part engagement, they look like weddings.
But not during the 3 weeks. I mean, again, a Sfaradi maybe, because they don't start this Avilus, you know, until. But even a Sfaradi might take it. That we're talking from Rosh Chodesh. You're right. So for the 3 weeks, the Sfaradim could have an engagement party. I would suspect that even the Sfaradim are going to be, the Ashkenazim have had a lot of influence on the Sfaradim when it comes to, you know, Beit HaMitzar. But when we get to Rosh Chodesh Av, then that I don't know. He says, Li'aris below Se'uda Mutter. But he's absolutely opposed to a Suda, and I'm pretty sure that applies even for Rosh Chodesh Av, even for Sfaradim. So let's just make a note where we got up to. We're up to Nama Gimel, Sif Gimel, in the Mechaber on page 40. All right then? So then we'll try to pick that up next time.